as we've been talking about finding joy in a life of prayer, because the object of having prayer with our Heavenly Father is to commune with Him, is to enjoy His presence. It's not to fulfill an obligation. It's not to check off a box. It's not supposed to be because you're supposed to do it. Remember what the Lord said Himself, if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable. And the Lord loves a joyful or cheerful giver. And so prayer should be something we're enjoying. So this is just somewhat a summary of praying and living in the Spirit so that we can experience life in the kingdom of God here on the earth. We know from Paul's letter to Rome in chapter 14, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So when we talk about the kingdom or kingdom life, we're talking about a spiritual life where you experience righteousness. You have righteousness in your home. Your relationship with your spouse is right. Your relationship with your children is right. You do what is right at work. Your testimony in everywhere you do has the foundation of being right because God is at work in you. And His Spirit at work in you is producing righteousness. And of course, the fruit of righteousness is peace. When you're at peace with God, you can be at peace with those in your life. It's in a house where there is peace, even if it's only a morsel of bread, is better than a house full of feasting and strife. I'm going to have to ask for no more talking. So peace is more important than riches. Better to live in a poor house with peace than a rich place with strife. And of course, when you're walking in the Holy Spirit, when things are right with God, things are right in your home, things are right at your work, then the joy of the Lord is poured out through the Holy Spirit. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. When we are full of the joy of the Lord, we are far less vulnerable to be tempted and drawn away by carnal lust. Because the joy of the Lord is a strength to us, and we're finding our joy in doing the will of the Father. Because Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. But the joy of the Lord Jesus was never pleasure seeking. Remember, he didn't do any sports. He didn't play any games that we know of. And yet no one had more joy on the earth than the Lord Jesus. And you know why? Because He loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. The Father poured out. He anointed Him with the oil of joy. So His joy was the joy that the Heavenly Father filled His heart with, because He delighted in doing God's will. And when we discover that joy, many of the secondary things or the things that we have in our life that are just filler activity to try to keep us from becoming bored will pass away when we are experiencing the joy of the Lord. And this life in the Spirit is what qualifies us as the sons of God. And in here, sons is a mature term. Those who are the mature children of God. Because Paul said to the Corinthians, and we are on page 1. This is the third slide on page 1. You can see where we are there at the top. Paul said to the Corinthians, I could not address you as spiritual, but as carnal. And then he said, mere infants in Christ. Yes. So, but those who are led by the Spirit and not being carnal, who are spiritual, these are the mature sons of God, those that have grown in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God's sons those who are led by the Spirit, those who walk in the Spirit, God's sons experience righteousness, peace, and joy. And they do so by living in the Holy Spirit, right here in this life. And we know from Romans chapter 8 that the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. And wouldn't it be sweet for all of us to experience life and peace? Not strife, not anxiety, not depression, not emptiness, not lack of purpose, not hopelessness, but genuine life where we love our days and they are filled with joy and we're just at peace because we know our Father cares for us and He's at work in our lives. And that doesn't mean that we won't face difficulty. It just means that we have help in everything that we're going to face. And we need to learn to live under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You know how most of us get in trouble? Just by following our own wrong thought. The devil's not throwing a lasso around us and dragging us somewhere. He gives us a suggestion. We take the suggestion and act on it, and so we do it to ourselves. What the scripture says is that God will heal us of our wrong ways. And our wrong ways comes from lack of understanding, bad choices, lack of discernment, lack of wisdom. He's not punishing us. You know what the punishment for those who are not being led by God are? It's what it says in the Proverbs. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. His own ways shall punish him. God's not up there angry, and as soon as you make a mistake, he sends some kind of spiritual lightning bolt and zaps you. No. God's up there saying, I don't think you should do that. The Holy Spirit is saying, that's not wise to do. You ignore it, you do it anyway, and the punishment is the consequence of your action. You suffer the consequence of what you've done. And God is willing to even work with you and show mercy and forgive you of that action. But most of the time, sin is its own punishment. The wages of sin is death. Not because God gives death, because sin leads away from life. Sin is missing the mark. We miss what's best. So if our own heart and mind are guarded, wow, by the light, this life and peace from God, then all the circumstances we face in this world, we'll be able to face in the best position. It doesn't mean we won't have difficulty, but you know, most of us have seen shows and we appreciate that character who, even though he's facing 12 guys with weapons and he has none, he's just smiling. Not afraid at all. You know, he knows exactly what he's going to do. That idea is somewhat true when you're filled with the peace of God. Jesus could be invited to dinner and know that there were 7 or 8 people who were plotting to take his life and enjoy the meal without even being concerned about it. A crowd one time tried to approach him and take him to the edge of the city and throw him off the cliff. And it just says he just turned and walked through the ground because his time had not come. This kind of peace doesn't mean we won't be tested. It just means we won't have to deal with the test in the bad way of fear and anxiety and being startled. Because, you know, when you startle a horse, it will just suddenly take off and running. You ever seen that when a child, you know, they go on these trail rides and these nice, safe horses, and, of course, the child can't ride, and the horse takes off running, and the child doesn't just know what to do, just panic. A lot of times, our inner man is kind of like that horse. It gets startled, and it bolts, and it takes off. And the peace of God will stop that and give us a self-control that is beautiful. And this peace Jesus said is special. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. What does he mean, not as the world gives? The world is either at war or at peace. The peace of Jesus can be in the midst of any war. Any difficulty, the peace that Jesus gives is not based upon external circumstances being all easy. You can be facing some real difficulty, and the peace of Jesus will be there, giving you clarity and wisdom and guidance. So he said, do not let your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. And that's on us. We need to learn that. Fear is not the best response. Now, there are certain types of reactions that God gives us. You know, it's if you see, you know, a car speeding at a child, well, that fear can help move you real quick. So there are certain healthy elements of that. But oftentimes what Jesus is talking about here, this kind of fear puts someone in a basically frozen mode. They just stop acting. They don't do anything. They halt. And that's not something you want to do. You want to always be being led by the Holy Spirit. So God's peace, the peace we're talking about, is only experienced by those who are abiding in Jesus. And this peace surpasses understanding. So that is good news for us. Because sometimes many of us think if God would just help us understand, we could have peace. If he would explain what's going to happen, if we know what the test results are going to be, or if whatever it is we're facing, if we think we have wisdom to see how it's going to turn out, we'll have peace. But no. The peace that God, that Jesus is talking about here, or Paul is talking about here, is the peace that comes from God is with us. And he loves us. And because God is with us, it's that same peace David wrote about in Psalms 23. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because thou art with me. And if God is with us, he's got it. Whatever he will provide whatever grace, whatever help, whatever strength, whatever support is necessary. So that's what gives us peace. We don't have to understand the circumstance exactly.
Well, and when you go through the circumstance, if you have the peace of God, you'll see it from God's perspective.
Well, and it's certainly a help to do that, because then you have hope and confidence that he's going to be working together towards the good. Yes, Brother Rudy?
But wouldn't you say that, humanly speaking, it is also normal to be apprehensive?
Yes, right.
Because Joshua,
sure,
Joshua was apprehensive of the task,
sure,
ahead of him.
Right.
And God told him, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage?
Right. That's a very good point. We're talking about having normal human passion and emotions,
yes,
supported and helped, guided by the power of God.
Yes.
You'll have the feelings.
Yes.
The emotions will be there. The response will be there. But it's in control. The danger is human emotions out of control.
Yes.
Where you lose control. You lose it.
But it's a right to be apprehensive.
Yes, of course. There's going to be... God designed us to have these feelings.
Yes.
But we need to have these natural emotions and concerns with the power and support,
yes,
of God there.
Amen.
In faith. It's just dangerous to have natural emotions without spiritual life. And this verse in Isaiah, many of you know it or you've heard it before, Isaiah 26:3. The truth of it is, when we direct our hearts and minds and stay focused that God is with us instead of merely analyzing the trouble, that is when we will be kept in perfect peace. If you're only looking at the situation, then you're like the people of Israel who was listening to the report about how big the people were in the land of Canaan, and how large the cities were, and how small they were in their own eyes. And when the people did not bring their focus upon the power of God and His promise, all they looked at was the size of the people and the dangerous situation that they were going to be facing when they entered the land of Canaan. And they panicked. They panicked. They gave into fear. They wept in their tents. They just gave into human emotion. They went so far as to say, as a whole group, it would have been better for us to just die in the wilderness. And because they completely lost sight, God had just delivered them from the land of Egypt. God had taken them to the Red Sea. God was leading them daily in a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire by night. They were eating manna that God was providing. They had water from the rock. But all of that, they didn't focus on. They didn't consider His faithfulness. They simply dwelt upon the difficulty and they panicked. Let's learn from their example. Not follow their example. And let's keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus, regardless of the difficulty we're facing, okay? Remember Peter? You know this story? The disciples were in the boat, and it was kind of late, and it was pretty stormy out there. And they look, and they see Jesus coming to them, walking on the water. And Peter, being the macho he is, you know, a lot of us are like Peter. Lord, if that's you, command me to come up to you on the water. Okay, come. You know, be careful of asking the Lord for things you're not ready for, because the Lord told him to come. And Peter got out of the boat. To his credit, he got out of the boat and he began to walk on the water. That's amazing that he began. It's just that as he started walking on the water, he got to looking around and notice the waves and the wind, and he was kind of in a dangerous situation. And as soon as he took his eyes off the Lord Jesus, and he began to contemplate the danger he was in, he immediately went from walking on the water to sinking in the water. Okay? And that's what's going to happen to us. If we can be walking on top of things, we can be walking above the trial in victory, and suddenly we take our eyes off the Lord. Maybe it's because some report or something comes to mind, or we hear what we had hoped that someone had changed their attitude towards us, and then we run into them and it's even worse than before. And there we go, we just sink because something has startled us and we've taken our eyes off the Lord. Yeah.
In the case of Peter, it's double amazing because as a rule, most fishermen know how to swim,
yeah,
how to float on the water. And Peter forgot that he knew how to swim and how to float on water.
Well, it may, you know, but the waves can get pretty tall in a storm.
Yes.
And it's one thing to swim in the water. It's another thing to try to survive when there's 15 and 20 foot waves. They can, that's kind of rough. We don't...
he chickened out, man.
Yeah. You know, the scripture says, and this is in 1 John, we are on page 3, slide 3, that we overcome the trouble of the world by faith. Okay? And remember, faith comes from hearing the words of Jesus,
yes,
above the noise of the world we live in. You know that faith comes by hearing. So, if we overcome by faith, here's what's happening. In the midst of the trial, the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, will speak to us. As we listen to what He says and believe, we will act upon what He says, not upon our own thoughts. And by acting upon what He says in faith, we overcome the situation. Faith comes by hearing. So we literally depend upon the Lord speaking to us. And sometimes that hearing will be the a scripture verse, the Holy Spirit will bring it back to mind. Sometimes it will just be counsel and wisdom and insight we're given in the moment. Sometimes we'll hear the kind of voices to say, don't fear. I mean, just a divine help to us. But if we hear the Lord, faith will rise in what the Lord says, and it's by acting upon that faith we overcome. And Jesus said that the Holy Spirit imparts His spiritual life to us by speaking to us. This is in 1 John, the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 14 and 15. This is what Jesus said about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He, the Holy Spirit, will glorify me, for He will take of mine and will disclose it to you. Isn't that wonderful? How many of you think Jesus has everything, can do everything, lacks nothing?
Amen.
That's wonderful. That's great.
Amen.
How many of you know that the reason He has all that is to make it available to you at all times? That's why He has it. It's not like some museum. It's not like He's behind some glass case and Jesus, You're so wonderful. Look, it's so wonderful. No, we get to partake of it. We get to share in it. Yeah, Gary. Peace and the effect. Mm-hmm. Quietness and confidence.
Yes.
Right. Of them that make peace.
Jesus stood up in the storm and He rebuked that wind. This was the work of righteousness, and the effect of it was a great calm.
Amen.
And you're exhorting us that God is enabling us through faith to overcome these.
Yeah. And part of that is by remaining tranquil. Paul to the Thessalonians said, and I don't have it on the slide here, but Paul said, make it your ambition to lead a quiet, tranquil life. He's talking about inner tranquility. Yes. Have you ever noticed that rushing water is powerful, but it also picks up a lot of mud and debris, and you can't see? And it's when the water slows down and gets still, the debris drops out and the water gets clear. Then you can see. A lot of times, we have to beware of that initial stirring. You're all stirred up on the inside. Your emotions are stirred up. Your thoughts are racing. Wait. You're not seeing clearly. Seek that tranquility. Seek that stillness. Let the debris settle out. And listen for the voice of the Lord. And then the Holy Spirit will bring whatever is in Jesus and speak that to you, disclose it to you. So we need to learn to hear the Holy Spirit disclosing these things of Christ. And that's how we'll know what to believe, and that's how we'll receive grace that it's available to us in every moment. As we hear the Holy Spirit, faith will come in what we hear, and this is how we'll overcome, by faith in what the Holy Spirit is sharing with us. Now we're on page 4, slide 3. So notice this, we're not protected by the Father from trouble, are we? No, the Father hasn't promised to keep trouble away from us. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulations. Have y'all ever read in the Old Testament? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him from them all. So we're not promised to be kept away from trouble. We're promised to be preserved through trouble. And that, for those early Christians, they were quite tested. Because their trouble was standing in the middle of an arena while a gate was being raised about to release wild beast on them. And they were preserved in trouble. Their spiritual life and their eternal life was preserved. Their physical life wasn't. And listen, some of you need to understand that. You may get a report someday from some doctor that you're terminal. Guess what? Didn't you already know you were terminal? Didn't you know that already? It may be a little earlier than you thought. But I think, aren't we all living in a terminal body?
Yes.
Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Now outwardly we're wasting away. But inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Jesus said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Look, I'm not trying to keep this body. I'd like it. If it works, great, that's fine. But if it falls apart, I have a heaven and home. I mean, a home in heaven. I'm secure.
Amen.
And so being protected by God does not always mean nothing will trouble our physical life. No. Our eternal destiny is sure. And we need to keep that in focus. You know, if we lose focus of our eternal destiny and the exceeding great and precious promises that await for us, then our present struggles don't seem light. But Paul said that I do not consider our present struggles even worth comparing to the far surpassing weight of glory. But if you lose the ability to compare what awaits us with the present situation you're in, boy, the present situation you're in can seem overwhelming. And you can lose your joy and the ability to rejoice in the Lord because you're not keeping things in perspective. Don't have this expectation that God's going to keep trouble away from us in this life. The secret to being content in every situation we find ourselves in was given by Paul, right? Remember that? He gave us that. It's what he said in Philippians chapter 4. We're on page 5, slide 1 now. Philippians 4, 12 to 13. I know how to get along with humble means. That means when you're living check to check or you don't even quite know how it's going to work out. I also know how to live in prosperity. When you have more than you need. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. And what's the key? I can do all things. He can keep me even in prosperity. He can keep me from becoming proud and self-reliant. He can keep me even when I'm just living check to check. He can make it all work out. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So I don't need God to make the situation in my life easy. I just need confidence in him that he'll give me grace on a day by day situation. So Jesus strengthens us through the faith that comes from hearing what the Holy Spirit discloses to us. And we are empowered by this grace that we receive through the hearing of faith. I'm saying that several times tonight so you can get that. And this means we overcome in our tribulations. A friend of mine once said, and this was years ago, when you begin to rejoice in your trials, you've already overcome. You don't wait till it's over to rejoice. Remember the Israelites, when they were at the Red Sea, they're all panicking and crying out, you know, save us, we're going to die, we're going to die. And the Lord told Moses, stand still, go forward, and see the salvation of the Lord. And then the Lord does a mighty work, and he parts the Red Sea, and they go through on dry land. And what do they do on the other side? They're all rejoicing on the other. Don't be like that. Rejoice in the Lord in the situation, you know, but God is merciful. When we all know that at times that we have panicked, he should be shown mercy to us. But let's grow in confidence, And let's make our goal to have a heart that really is full of peace and full of joy. Remember this principle? The submarine principle? Submarines are built to withstand great external pressure. The pressures they face deep down underneath the surface would, without reinforcement, would crush the hull. They don't seek to avoid the pressure. They build and prepare for it, and in a way, they overcome it. If you falter, don't forget this, if you falter in times of trouble, what does that reveal?
How small is your strength.
It reveals how small your strength is. And so that we don't get caught in that situation, how many of us have read Ephesians chapter 6 and understood what he said? Become strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Yes.
It's not enough to say, I'm weak. We are supposed to become strong in the strength of the Lord. So we need to put on the armor of God. Remember that song we sing? Let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord. That's what he's wanting us to say. Not that we're strong or in ourselves, but with God with us, we're content. We're secure. We're of faith. We overcome. And just like a submarine is reinforced, its hull is reinforced, we need to be reinforced in our inner man. This is what Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 3. Paul prayed for the Ephesians that God would grant them, according to the riches of his glory, to be fortified with power through the Spirit in your inner man. Isn't that what Jesus told the disciples? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not talking about the power to do miracles. I'm talking about the power to walk by faith, the power to rejoice in the Lord always, the power to stay at peace, the power to have a tranquil life, even when the circumstances are difficult. That is possible through the power of the Holy Spirit fortifying our inner man so that Christ can dwell in our hearts by faith. And that's interesting. We talk about Jesus living in us. So why is Paul praying this? Well, evidently, what he means by Christ dwelling in us is a deep and profound sense of fullness where we are aware of all the power of Christ that is available to us, and it's right there with us, and we realize it. He's dwelling in our hearts by faith, and we are utilizing all his spiritual resources. And that's what the ministry of the Holy Spirit is. I mentioned that verse in John already in our study. That's what his ministry is, to disclose to us all these riches that are ours in Christ. It's in the way God wills for this to be in our life is this: the riches that he deposited in Christ are to become our resources. We use what Christ is filled with. And that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to make that a reality in our lives. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received, being we the believers have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. They are already given. They're already there. It's like the bank account is already full.
Yes.
If we're not experiencing these things, it's because we have not learned how available they are to us. God has given us these things. And the Holy Spirit is there to help us realize all of these riches that are our resources. And Peter talked about that. With this awareness of how much God has provided, it calls for a response on our part. Page 6, this is slide 3. Page 6, slide 3. This is from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. You know, I wonder how many of us have read over these like they're greetings. But you know what? I want grace and peace to be multiplied to me. You know, 1 plus 6 is 7, right? But 2 times 6 is 12. Or 6 times 3 is 18. Multiplication is much more than addition. And do you believe that God is saying through Simon Peter that there's more grace available to you than you now have? There's more peace available to you than you may be experiencing right now? You can be filled with grace. You can have an abundance of peace if God is multiplying it to you. But notice, it's multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So the more we know, the more it's multiplied. The more we know Him, the more grace we experience. The more peace we experience. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. It's been granted. Everything we need to live a godly life is already given. Through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. And that's Jesus. God, through Jesus, has called us to His own glory and excellence. So they've already been given to us. But if we're lagging behind in our knowledge of Jesus, we're not fully utilizing what has been freely given to us and is fully available. Can you see why that's why growth is so important? Because if you are not growing in the knowledge of the Lord, you will be limited in how much you can utilize all that He has already given to you. And I have an illustration of this not this slide, but the next slide. It is growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus that increases our capacity to receive the power of God. Capacity is like potential. It's how much power can flow through a given circuit. Do you realize that there can be more power available that cannot get to the other end because there's not enough capacity? You don't have a large enough wire to transfer the amount of power. God has all power in Christ. But if your knowledge of Him is tiny, you're not able. That power is not able to flow into your life because it's limited by your undeveloped capacity. And here's an example. Do you understand that these are different degrees of wire? The smallest capacity is the 8 THW. It takes an 8 sometimes to run a large dryer or a heavy welder. Four, some older homes had their entire capacity limited to a 4. Usually if there's just 100 amp in the house, they didn't have many plugs and outlets back then. It's an older home. Anymore, it's in the 1-aught or 2-aught or 3-aught. Because the thicker the wire, the more capacity it has to carry power. And do you notice, I love the picture. Do you notice how they increase the capacity? They've added strands. They just added another strand. They've not reinvented the wheel. The strand in number 8 THW is almost doubled into 3. the 3 is almost doubled in the 2-aught. You see that? They just added more strands. Well, listen to this verse from Peter. For these, or by these, he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. By partaking of the divine nature, it's saying we actually partake of the nature of Jesus, his wisdom, his power, his patience, his kindness, his goodness is actually something we partake of, we share in, so that it's his life transforming our life, his power flowing to us through the Holy Spirit. And that's how we escape the corruption that is in the world by lust. The power of Christ pulling us up becomes greater than the gravity of sin and the world pulling us down. And now, and look what it says here at the bottom. Now for this reason, apply all diligence to add to your faith. Remember the pictures of those little strands? Let's look at those strands as these things. Add these spiritual strands. Add virtue. Then add knowledge. Add self-control. Add perseverance. And do you see what you're doing? You're building your capacity. You're building spiritual capacity. To perseverance, add godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, add love. And then it says, for if these are in you, if this capacity is in you and abounding, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of God. Now, doesn't that mean that we can be ineffective and unproductive even though we know God? You hardly do anything with your faith. You hardly have any power. It hardly works in any way that's effectual. Could that be that you have not been adding what you're supposed to be adding? You've not been adding to your faith? Yeah, Gary. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Exactly. And that same statement, Gary, says, and great grace was upon the early church. A great grace was upon them. Oh, I'd love to experience that with a group of saints that were just so walking in the Lord that they're full of grace. They're strong of grace. Now, By adding, you are seeking. Let's say the first was add to your faith virtue. How do you add virtue to your life? All virtue must come through Jesus. And so you look at Jesus, you worship Jesus, and you say, Lord Jesus, strengthen me with your Holy Spirit in virtue. You ask for it. And you receive greater grace for virtue. And then knowledge. You say, Lord, I just don't know enough. I get confused. Lord, strengthen me. Fill me with your knowledge. And what happens in that seeking, everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. That's how it's added to you. You're seeking it. You're aware there's more there. Jesus is full of these things. You're experiencing some of it, but you want a greater measure. You want an increase. You want grace and peace multiplied. That's how you're adding. You're seeking it intentionally, knowing it's there. You're aware you have some, but you want more. So the key here is giving diligence. The Greek word for diligence is where we get the English word for speed. It means to get to it quickly. It would be like hop to it or go quickly go do it. That's what a master would often tell his servant, with diligence. In other words, quickly. Be quick about it. And this is not something you want to be dull in. Because if you're dull and sluggish, it affects the rate of growth. And you don't want to be dull and sluggish in spiritual things. Add these strands, these spiritual strands, and it will increase your capacity to receive power. Some of you might know this. This is an older building, built in about the early 1960s. And so they put very limited wire capacities. Now, in its code, you're supposed to have an outlet every 8 feet, I believe. And in most houses, I may actually have this, I have this slide coming up. Most houses actually have twice the capacity for power, the new homes and the old homes. Larger homes have three times the capacity for electricity. The same electricity is all running in the wires, but from the electric lines to the house is this limited capacity. It all depends upon how much power is coming to your house. There, all the power is in the line. That's not the question. How much power? What's the line connecting your house to the? And that's the same with us spiritually. All the power of God, it's all available. The question is, what's the cord? What's the link between the Lord? Is it a real thin little link? Because if you try to wire a 220 window unit, and you try to use number 14 wire, and you hook it up, as soon as you turn the power on, it's going to blow. Because the wire is too small to take that much current. You have to put at least a number 10 wire to it. And the same thing is with the Lord. If we do not grow in capacity, we're not able to receive all the power. I found this online. Amperage is a measure of the volume of electricity flowing through the wires. How much amperage? So when we say that has 120 amps, we know there's 120 amps of electricity running in this wire, in this room. These outlets are all 120 amps is running. That's what it means. Now, the average for older homes, when they first had electricity coming to them, they were wired with 30 amps. That would run one dryer in a home today. 30 amps. But I mean, back then, all they needed was a light bulb and a couple of light bulbs and something else. There was very little electricity used. And then, so when they really began to get advanced, homes went to 100 amps. And some of you may still live in a home that only has 100 amp electric service. But all the new homes, you can't even build a home anymore with only 100 amps. It's required have 200 amps. And you know why they've increased that? Because they've developed many more utilities. Blenders, microwaves, coffee machines, TVs, radios, ceiling fans, air conditioning. The more utilities that they've created, the more power they need to give to the home to run these things. Spiritually, it's the same way. There are some Christians who still only have 30 amps. They've never upgraded. They're still running on 30 amps. And they've got this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. They've got a few little lights in their house. But it's just no. Yes. As we fellowship with the Lord, as we spend time in the Spirit, it's almost like we absorb Spirit. It's the result of it is the more time we are in Spirit, our spirit grows. That's capacity. the amperage that we're experiencing is increasing because we're spending time with him. It's upgrading. The more we spend time with him, the stronger our spirit goes, so that our inner man might become, it might start over here as an 8, and our inner man begins to look more and more like a 3. And just, we're receiving much more of the Lord's power because our inner man is growing. Yeah, Marie.
You know, I believe that so much. I our prayer group on Tuesday, we're experiencing that. We were discussing that. Prayers are being answered.
And what's wonderful is the world is not changing around us, is it? Our environment is not getting more friendly. Temptations will still be there. The devil is still there. But when you have upgraded and now you're at twice the power that you were before, it's much easier to face the same difficulties. The difficulties haven't changed. You've become stronger. And when you become stronger, it makes the difficulty seem easier. You've grown. You've grown in spirit. And the things that used to overwhelm you do not anymore. The trials that used to overcome you, now you're overcoming because the Lord's power has been increased in your life.
Hello, can I say something?
Yes, ma'am.
We have to get to that point. Through your daily experiences, you have to get to that point. And I would like, Ken, if I could read just...
Yes, you may.
John,
yes, you can.
1 and 12. But as many as received him, this is one of my favorites, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So... it is no secret. Well, I see this person doing this and that person doing that. But it is no secret what God can do with your life, or where he can take you. But we, through our experiences, through our daily experiences, we grow to those points. It may just come overnight, but most of the time you have to encounter various experiences.
That's right.
Yes.
And the difficulty, oftentimes the way it works, and I thank Patty for sharing that, is we face a difficulty, we don't know what to do. And we draw near the Lord because we need his help. As we draw near to him, we receive his help, we learn, we're strengthened, we grow in experience. We have gained something. We've been transformed by a degree. That's what this verse says. By praying in the Spirit and living in the Spirit, a transformation begins to happen. I just put it this way, from one degree of capacity to another, from glory to glory, we begin to receive more of the Lord. The Lord is the same. We're the ones being changed. He's not grown more powerful. We're understanding him more. We're recognizing him more. We're receiving him more freely. And so we are the ones being transformed by degrees through looking to him. That's the way it works. And this last statement, the less we grow.
There's a question over there.
Yes, Becky.
Can I share?
Yeah. Sure.
But there's people that don't grow because they think being in prayer or in prayer groups or Bible studies is boring, is what we were kind of discussing. And if we think it's boring, then we're not going to get to a next level of having more of that power that Christ can give us.
Well, yeah, sure. I would imagine watching the Jeffersons is not going to be quite as spiritually dynamic as spending time with the Lord. You may laugh. You may have a good time. But it's not going to be transformative. And listen to this principle, y'all. I want to end with this. And we'll just continue our discussion next week. The less we grow, the less we glow. Okay? I mean, we can radiate if we are filled with the Spirit. Will it not be obvious?
Yes.
Won't we radiate with joy and radiate with peace?
Yes.
And that light will be there. And what's beautiful about when we're radiating with the spiritual life of Christ, those around us get to see the light because we are being the light of the world. That's what they're seeing it. They're seeing Christ, the light of Christ, as he works in us. And that's the goal. To bring him glory and honor by receiving what, let him do the work he wants to do in us. Because when we are being filled with his power, he's the one that looks powerful. When we're filled with his joy, he's the one that looks like a good father. When we're down in the mouth and we're just barely making it and we're unhappy, what kind of reflection is that upon him? When we are filled with the abundant life he came to give, he has the testimony he deserves. He's rich, he's faithful, he's kind, he's good. And that's why we want to experience this transformation. Because the more we grow in him, the more honor and glory it brings to him.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Matt.
Yes, sir.
He's up your mess.